Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. This is number 5, in who and what do you worship? Have you ever stopped to think that you have other gods before the true God? That you have idols before God? A lot of people say, well, no, I don't. Well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm a good Christian. Well, Sunday is an idol. Most people don't look at it that way. Well, the church changed it. Really? Does any man have the right to change what God has given? Can anyone go to God and say, God, I don't like this. God, I don't like the Sabbath day. Now, most of these people that are coming into the church now, they're pagans. They've been worshiping on Sunday. And just think how many more people we would have in church if we just moved the day to Sunday. So, the theologians sit down and they tried to figure out how they could do it and twist and turn the scriptures and came up with Sunday. And then they turn around and condemn Sabbath keeping. And they don't really know the truth about Sabbath keeping because they look at what the tradition of the Jews are concerning Sabbath keeping, and all of their man-made laws are ridiculous, and those are idols before the true God, even though they know which day is the Sabbath day. Do you love and obey the true God? That is the question, and that is the test. Do you love and obey the truth of God? That is another question and another test. Now let's come back here to Romans 1 where we left off before, because God has revealed these things to them. But they have rejected it. Who is they? That's anyone in the world, whether they're a religious leader, whether they're a businessman or woman or child or whatever. Okay? Verse 19, Romans, the first chapter. We'll just pick up where we left off. Because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested it to them. Now, how did he do that? Well, by the things created, number one, and by his word. And the Bible is God's message to each and every one of us personally. You want to know what God wants you to do? He tells you. Every word of God, like Jesus said, we are to live by. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that were made, both his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No man can say, well, God, I never knew. Oh, God, I was never taught. Now, especially the religious leaders, they know better. Even Pat Robertson admitted on television that everything about Christmas is pagan.
It's David who says, we have friends who do not celebrate Christmas because they say December 25th is really a pagan holiday. While I agree that Jesus may not have been born on December 25th, he certainly was born as described in the Bible. How do I respond to them?
Well, in a sense, tell them they're right. You see, the winter solstice, a couple of days later, was the shortest day of the year, and the pagans had something called Saturnalia, and it was a time of lawlessness because all the laws were suspended, and people, a bunch of singers, were actually wandered the streets naked singing. And then they had orgies, sexual orgies. It was a mass thing. Well, when the Catholic Church came along in Italy, the Romans and others didn't want to give up their holidays. So they said, okay, we'll Christianize it. And so they said, okay, we'll say the birth of Jesus was the 25th of December. Then there was a monk who began to add it up. You see, if you read in Luke, it says there's a census taken when Quirinius was governor and so forth and so on. And they could take those leaders and figure the exact time dating from the foundation of Rome. And that's when the dates were established. And so they get pretty close to the date. But to say it's the 25th, shepherds were out abiding in the field. It gets a little cold at night. I mean, were they out there in the middle of winter? I don't know. I've been out there on the shepherd's field on Christmas Eve. It's very nice. But it's cold. And nevertheless, I mean, what was going on? So all this business about mistletoe, pagan. Christmas trees, pagan. Giving out gifts, pagan. Every bit of it is pagan. Every single bit of it is pagan. We've Christianized it all.
And nowhere in the Bible does it say you are to observe the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want our booklet, When Was Jesus Born? That'll tell you within a 2-week time frame when Jesus was actually born. And it had nothing to do with December 25th. Even as Pat Robertson himself acknowledged. However, the same thing is true with Sunday. So I'd like to know what Pat Robertson's going to say about true Sabbath keeping. I wonder how many followers would he lose. See, because Sunday keeping is an idol. Rejecting the Sabbath of God. Now verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their own reasonings, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They had their own philosophies, they had their own thoughts, they had their own way of explaining how the world came into existence. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Now notice the progression. Automatic blinding takes place whenever anyone rejects the truth of God. Automatic. God doesn't have to come down and do a thing. He made it so it would be that way. On the other hand, if you love God and keep his commandments, then he will open the knowledge of his word to you so you can understand him, who he is, what he's doing, what his plan is. Now, you go to the series we have on From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why were you born? You know what your purpose in life is? And when you come to understand how great it is, you're going to realize how absolutely foolish that men have become in their own vain reasonings. And their hearts are darkened, meaning that they are filled with Satan's way, because Satan is the author of darkness. And his way binds men in spiritual chains of darkness. Now, unwilling to admit that they're fools, what do? While professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, of birds, of four-footed creatures, and creeping things. Now, look at that. Think of that again here. Now, we mentioned how the sports can become an idol. What are their logos like? Why are they always named after some kind of animal, bird, or four-footed creature? And the fans, the adoring fans love them and are there for every game, read everything in the paper, know all the ones who are on the team, who the great ones are. Exactly the same way in religion. Look at Hinduism. They worship cows and monkeys and rats. They even have a temple to the rats. Imagine that. And they think by feeding the rats, they are now righteous. Now notice what happens. God understands this. And then God reacts to what they do. If you don't want God, He's going to abandon you. You're on your own. And you will not be able to do anything that is godly or right. Notice what happens. Because it goes to sexual morality immediately after rejecting the true God. You know, it's like people say today, well, the commandment against adultery is outdated today. No, it isn't. Why are there 100 million people with sexually transmitted diseases? Ever stop and ask that question? Why does that happen? Notice, for this cause God also abandoned them to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to disgrace their own bodies between themselves. All kinds of sexual immorality. And yet even the homosexual community has taken the Bible and they have edited it to take away the offensive language in the Word of God against their debauched sexual behavior. Oh, but we're such good people, right? Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And who's the father of lies? Satan the devil. He's the liar, father of it. Look at any religion in this world and start with Protestantism. They have about 90% of the things are not true. Catholicism, about 97% is not true. All the other religions, Islam, total lie. Hinduism, total lie. Buddhism, total lie. Shamanism, total lies. And they're worshiping Satan, the devil, and the demons that are with him, and their works are abominable before God. Now, let's come back here to the book of Isaiah, the second chapter, verse 5. Israel was a name that God gave to Jacob. And Jacob was the son of Isaac. And Isaac was the son of Abraham. And the promises given to Abraham, both spiritual and physical, came down to them and their descendants. And Jacob had 12 sons, and there were 12 tribes of the children of Israel, of which the Jews are one single tribe, with parts of the tribes of Levi consisting of those who were of the priestly line and those who were of the Levitical line. That is it. So if someone says, well, Israel is the Jews. No, think of it 1/12. Now, just think on this now. What if you had a family with 12 children, 12 sons, and the father died, and one son took the 11 to court and took the whole inheritance from the other 11 brothers? What would you think of that? Well, that would be unfair. That would be unjust. One against the last will and testament of the father. But because agreed, it was done. No, in the case of the tribes of Israel, because of sin, because of rejecting God, that the 10 tribes were separated from the rest. Now let's see what God says to them. Verse 5, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, instead of going your own way. Now we're walking in darkness, and the darkness we're walking in is by Satan the devil, and darkness is indeed great. For you, God, have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they have become full of divination from the east. Eastern religion. How many people practice yoga? How many people practice yin and yang and chi? Huh? Religions from the East. And are fortune tellers like the Philistines? Don't we have a television show today called The Medium of New York City? A woman who deals with familiar spirits. That ought to tell you something about New York City. Verse 7, and their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures, and their land is full of horses today, cars and trucks. Neither is there any end of their chariots, and their land is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And men will be brought low and humbled, forgive them not. That is, unless they repent. Now let's see what God says about idols. Let's come to Isaiah 44 and verse 9. Those who make a graven image are all of them vanity. The things in which they delight shall not help. They are their own witnesses. They do not see nor know that they may be ashamed. He who formed a god or melted a graven image that is profitable for anything. No, never has been, never will be. And then, verse 15, then it shall be for a man to burn, for he shall take some of it to warm himself, yea, kindle it, and bake bread. Yea, he makes a god and worships it. He makes a graven image and falls down and worships it. He burns part of it with the fire, and with part of it he eats flesh. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself and says, ah, I am warm. I've seen fire. With the rest of it, he makes it into a god, his graven image. He falls down to it and worships and prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. Think of that. That is the foolishness and stupidity of idols and images. God said, you shall not make it. That also includes rosaries, crosses, good luck charms, rabbit's foot, all of those superstitious things are idols. How can an idol do anything? And yet people worship it. Verse 18, they, that is the idols, know not nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. That's the automatic result. Just like it said there in Romans, the first chapter, God abandons them, and they have no understanding. Verse 19, and none thinks within his heart, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, I burned part of it in the fire, yea, I've also baked bread upon the coals of it, I have roasted flesh and eaten. And shall I make the rest of it in an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? What is this person's spiritual condition before God? Little does he realize he's actually worshiping Satan the devil. So question, whom do you worship? How many idols do you have?
I was watching TV the other day. And this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. Well, you would think they were crazy if you didn't understand their culture and their religion. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols. And they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted. They danced. They made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. You don't really relate, do you? Let's try it again. I was watching TV the other day, and this show comes on with these religious fanatics. They were crazy. See, that's just the thing. They were worshipers of idols, and they took things to extremes. They painted their bodies. They wore these ridiculous costumes. They chanted, they danced, they made sacrifices to their idols. They had built these enormous temples to worship their idols in. It seemed like their entire existence climaxed into this one scenario, this one over-the-top act of worship. Idol worship. It's not just about golden calves anymore.
Here's what God says. Here's how God looks at it. He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, so that he cannot deliver his soul. Neither does he say, is this not a falsehood in my right hand? Is this not a stupid thing that I have done? Think about it. Some of the other things that we'll read a little later, God says, you want to know about me? You go out and look at the heavens, and you look up at the stars and everything that I have made. I have numbered all of them, God says, and I know them by name. And the idols that men make are worthless and stupid and cannot save. And God is going to punish because of that, because all idolatry is Satan worship.
Originally, the cross was an idol symbolizing paganism.
Cross forms were used as symbols, religious or otherwise, long before the Christian era.
The public use of the cross was adopted by the Christians as a symbol at the time of Constantine.
The Christian church accepted the cross, the symbol of paganism. When people made a symbol of paganism and worshipped it, they were destroyed.
Worshipped a share of poles and idols. Because of their guilt, God's anger came upon Judah and Jerusalem.
Then, why did the Israelites worship idols, even though they knew that worshiping idols led them to destruction? That was because they were deceived by idolaters. Idolaters deceived the Israelites to believe that the idol of Egypt was God and incited them to worship the idol. Even today, idolaters deceive people to believe that the cross is a symbol of Christianity and a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice so that they can worship the cross and idol.
When you prostrate yourself, therefore, in adoration of an image, whether you suppose it to represent God or a creature, you are already fascinated with superstition.
Those who make the cross and worship it will be destroyed.
Now, let's finish in Ezekiel 14. Because now, God also looks to the thoughts and the hearts. See, God can know your thoughts at any time He wants to. Now, this is quite a setting. Now, this is when the children of Israel were in captivity, and Ezekiel was there with them because God wanted them to have his prophet right there in the midst of the captivity so they would know why they went into captivity and why that they were suffering such things. Verse 1, and some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I at all be inquired by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. Ask yourself this. How many idols do I have in my mind? How many things do I put between me and the true God? And when you do that, you will begin to understand that you are not worshiping the true God. Now, we'll do some segments on how do you worship the true God. Well, it is clear. You don't do it through your vain reasonings, and you don't do it the way that you want to, and you don't do it with idols. And remember where we started this segment, that God blesses those who love him and keep his commandments, but not those who have idols in their hearts and make idols to bow down and worship. So you need to write in for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? And the booklet, Why Christianity is Failing in America. So all of these are designed to help you recover from the ways of the world and the ways of man and their religions, and to understand the true God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.